Welcome to Keystone Partners Group and the coaching series, The Path. Today I have Jason Drissel and Bill Waldman from our Keystone Partners Group Montgomeryville office. Welcome, Jason.
Thank
and
you.
Bill, welcome.
Thanks, Michelle.
I think we're really going to have a great time today.
Awesome.
Talking about how you got started, Jason, with the coaching path, because you've been a real estate agent for some time, and then for some time as a productivity coach as well. And you, Bill, you've been an agent, I can't remember, so why don't we just get started with you? Share with our listeners today how you got started, what you did previously, and some things about your path right now.
Okay, so I started in the business about 2.5 years ago. Okay. So actually, 2.5 years ago. I've worked, before that, I worked for Johnson & Johnson, one of their subsidiaries. I was a chemist for about 6 years, supervisor for six, and then manager after that, and decided that it was time to get out of the corporate rat race. And I knew that it was something I wanted to do. I had a friend of mine refer me to real estate investing and stuff like that, and there were some things that my wife and I had read, and we just got into it. And then I met a couple folks from Keystone Partners Group, and then they kind of pointed me in the right path, and then that's how I got to Keystone Partners Group.
So 2.5 years, and I'm actually excited about sharing your story because you've had some really good success. So why don't we move on to you, Jason? Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I started real estate in 2004. Kind of looked down that investment road, which is what got me interested in real estate. Didn't end up traveling that road, but I found some other paths that worked really well. I've always been interested in leadership and going down that road or going down that path, and I've always read that a lot of people who've done that started with real estate. I saw an opportunity with Keystone Partners Group to not just become a realtor, but to become a realtor and then move on to using that as a stepping stone to do bigger and better things. And probably within about 3 or 4 years of getting into real estate, I was approached by our team leader. Hey, we've got this new position available that Keller Williams has started, productivity coaching. Would you be interested? And at first, I didn't know whether I was interested or not, and then I thought about it, and it was kind of a natural thing for me to go into, and so I said yes, and that was 9 years ago. And it's taken me a long time to make a full transition from a realtor, a real estate agent, to doing a little bit of each, to now being, for the last couple of years, basically not in production as far as real estate's concerned, but being able to coach other people to their goals and to their passion.
So you're a full-time productivity coach with your office.
Productivity coach.
So 2004, I think for the viewers, who some of them, you know, obviously are going to be real estate agents, etc. 2007. So when did you make your transition to being a productivity coach?
Full-time or
first?
Just getting into it?
Probably,
it was probably around 2007.
2007. So we know the market was starting to change.
Yes.
And so, you know, I've always felt that when we're making changes, it's usually better when things are great. And yet we knew the market was starting to shift. Did you have some concerns about getting started with something that, you know, quite frankly, nobody actually was doing at the time?
Sure. And I think it's anytime you make a change, there's always that what if and that trepidation. But I'm a firm believer that you're never stagnant. Either you're growing or you're dying, one or the other. So if you're not going the right way, you're going the wrong way. Jillian Michaels, I always like to quote Jillian Michaels, who says, you know, she always looks at her decisions and things that she does as when she was a kid and doing the Easter egg hunt, and am I getting hotter, getting colder? So you always want to be getting hotter and going closer to your goals. So I had two babies at that point in time in my personal life. My wife wasn't working, she was taking care of them for a short period of time, and the market was changing, and I was trying to find a balance between selling enough homes to pay the bills and yet build this coaching career. And you know, you have, just have faith in what you're doing and that it's going to pan out and that things are going in the right direction. And that's what happened. It took a while and there were some lean years, but there's rewards at the end of the path.
So you were also dual career. You were selling real estate, building your business, and also building a coaching practice.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's switch again to Bill. You got started 2.5 years ago, and so was Jason your coach? And share with the viewers about, you're laughing. It sounds like you guys have had a great time with on the career path together, with Jason coaching you. But first, I actually wanted to ask you, when you first got your real estate license, did you consider looking at other real estate companies that are out there, or did you just decide, well, you know what, these people are great, I'm just going with it? Or
that's what happened. I mean, I had, you know, Terry brought me in, Terry Swain brought me in, and so I liked her as an agent. She represented me in 2 transactions for some investment properties that I bought.
So you're a real estate investor as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gary Keller always says, if you're going to be in real estate, you may as well become an investor as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So passive income through real estate investing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Terry got me into it, and I just said, all right, this sounds good. I can go with it.
What else sounded good? I mean, a lot of real estate agents do tend to choose a company because they know someone, mm-hmm. and that was certainly the case. However, were there some other things that were important that also led you to saying, you know what, this is where I want to be?
There was 2 factors. The first factor was the coaching piece.
Okay.
Going from a science training background, operations type background, to sales was a big transition. And I knew that if I was going to go somewhere, I needed to have somebody at least teach me how to do that. And then the other piece was the profit share. And that was another big piece as well.
With Keller Williams, absolutely. It's something that was designed to be able to reward agents, because the companies really are the growth is dependent on the agents. If you love something, you're going to share it. And the owners have decided, the owners do share back 48% of the profits. And Keystone Partners Group this year has been able to share back $1.5 million back to the agents. So it is pretty cool, and I'm glad that was one of the things. So I'm sure we can work a lot more on that. So let's really look at, you got started 2.5 years ago, and coaching was really important to you, and Jason was your coach, mm-hmm. is your coach, ongoing. Mm-hmm. What was the distinctions? I mean, was it right away that, you know what, I'm going to get coached by him? Was there some things that Jason used that were great, some things that you didn't like? You know, just share with us a little bit about your experience of being coached.
So for, again, coming from a non-sales background, I think the biggest thing, if you've never done sales before, what are the activities I have to do to generate business? And, you know, what do I have to do to market myself? What do I have to do to, what types of activities do I take on? And sometimes it's even just better just to have that person to bounce an idea off of, mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, you're thinking about ways to separate yourself from the sea of other agents that are out there. And, you know, by having the coach, having Jason there, mm-hmm. and asking him the questions, you say, hey, Jason, what do you think about this? And he'll say, that's a great idea, and here's what I think you can also do to also take it to the next level, which is important as well, because you can't think of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have somebody there that's been in the business long enough and coached long enough that knows, you know, the right questions to ask so that you can get to the solutions that you want to grow.
So you're getting professional answers versus answers that someone might give you that might not be the right direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, as far as what I would, one of the things that I would take away that I would tell other agents that kind of affected me in the beginning was, great thing about Jason, he's got a lot of ideas, right? So he has a lot of...
After 9 years, he collects several.
You do. He's got a big toolbox. Yeah.
He has a very, very big toolbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
a lot of resources.
A lot of resources. And one of the things I found in the beginning, especially in the beginning for newer agents, was that we'd have a conversation 1 week, and I would go, and he'll tell you, I was pretty religious about going out and doing the things that I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Problem is, it goes back to, you know, Gary Keller's one thing. You know, what are the, you can't do them all. So you got to focus on three or four or five of them that are important and that you can focus on, get good at, and then generate into, and do them long enough so that you can generate leads from them. I think that's huge. Because so you get too bogged down with too many things, and you're like, ah.
Were you able to figure out what your best source of lead generation was then?
It took me a while. Actually, just probably within the past 6 months or so.
Okay.
Because, I mean, every year you go and you look at your numbers, and you look at where your leads come from. You look at where your numbers come from. And then those are your big, then you look at your big buckets and you say, okay, I like these areas. Now I need to focus more energy on them so I can grow them and make them build, you know, more transactions down the line.
So that's his perspective. What was your perspective when he first got started as a coach? You know, obviously you have a lot of systems and things like that you implement. What are those, and were they some of the things that Bill embraced or maybe resisted?
A lot of people getting into the business, again, depending on their personality, have different types of people that they want to communicate or are comfortable communicating with. We know through the research that Keller Williams has done and the National Association of Realtors has done that most of your business is going to come from your sphere of influence, mm-hmm. the people that you know, your family and friends. And a lot of times people want to think you can become the expert before they start to work with their family and friends, and they would rather kind of learn on people that they don't really know. So that's always a challenge with newer agents, is to help them to understand right out of the gate, go to the people that know and trust you already, whether it's from another business, something that you did in the past where you proved yourself, but they're the people that are going to work with you. So I can say that, and I guess Bill would probably say too, that it took a while for him to, and not just him, most people, to say, okay, I get it. A lot of business is going to come from the people that I know and trust, and I need to spend a little bit more time as them being one of my main avenues that I'm going to go down to generate some business.
Absolutely.
So when you coach agents, are all agents created equal in that everyone is, you know, has one path, or different people are capable of following a different system or a path?
Absolutely. I mean, again, it comes down to their personality. Are mm-hmm. they a high driver or a high influencer who are just going to go out there and talk to everybody, mm-hmm. or are they more of the structured and engineering type personality where they're going to want to become the expert before they go out and talk to people? And that's the challenge with those people, to let them understand that you just have to go out there and start doing things. So you also have, you know, you could have somebody who comes from the other side of the country and they're dropped in here and they have no sphere really.
Right,
so they absolutely have to look for a different avenue to go down, whether it's door knocking or open houses or some other. If they have no sphere here and they need to build their sphere, we need to work on something else with them.
Yeah. So in Bill's case, it sounds like he did resist to some things. As a coach, what was it, and how did you guys, you know, how did you overcome the resistance of him not wanting to be coached on that?
Over the years, I've finally said to people coming in, you're going to get frustrated with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to put it on the table right now, because I know that they started to get frustrated after a while, especially with different, you know, personalities, to say, because we're just going to focus on coming back to the same message over and over again. Are you talking to the people you need to talk to? And if there's a challenge in doing that, what is that challenge? Is it because we don't know who to talk to? Is it because we don't know what to say to them? Let's figure out what the challenge is. And they're going to stray from that path and say, hey, it was really easy to go down this path. And it might not be as a productive path, but it's easier to do. We have to reel them back in, say, hey, we had this conversation, but we're going to have it again and again and again until you start to get more comfortable. So I think maybe you would agree that that's kind of what we did, is you'd look for some avenues that might be a little bit easier. And like Bill said earlier, you track your numbers. And maybe that's where his turning point came when we started looking at his numbers and said, okay, you've had some transactions under your belt at this point. Let's take a look at where they came from. And we looked at the amount of time he was putting into certain activities, mm-hmm. and then we looked at the transactions that were closed, and we said, wait a minute, you're putting tons of time in over here, and I'm not seeing a whole lot coming from it. You're putting very little time into this avenue, and that's where all your transactions closed from. So let's focus more on this avenue and how we can get even more production out of this rather than focusing on something that's not really doing a whole lot for us.
You know, in real estate, there's situations when new agents get started, and you know, very quickly, if production doesn't occur, there's a big tendency of wanting to quit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's the roadblocks and things like that. Did you have situations where, when you got started, did you question the fact that, you know, is this really for me, and what kept you going? You know, obviously, you're on a really good success path, which is what I'd like you to share with our listeners today. But, you know, when was that, and how did the coaching help you?
So, I did have the instances where I said, what the heck am I doing? I've got a master's degree. I've retired from the military for 22 years. I can go anywhere I want. Okay. You know, and however, I guess the biggest factor for me was my wife. Yeah. And she said to me, she said, just give it a little bit longer. Give it a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. You know, and talking to Jason, talking to other, you know, agents or leadership within the office, mm-hmm. who you know, has been in the business for a while, and I would vent my frustrations on them, and they would say, you know, just keep at it, keep at it. And I remember one time you and I were talking, and you said, I was like, the clients are driving me crazy. And you said to me, you said, it's a good thing that they're driving you crazy, because you have enough business on the table to have somebody driving you crazy. And that keeps you going.
Great coaching advice, right? Yeah. Our clients are our opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and what is your production now? 2.5 years into it, you very quickly graduated because our coaching is really not just a few transactions, right? Mm-hmm. It really is for a period of you reaching a certain amount of volume in business, so that now you've got a great foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I finished out in coaching, I think, 12, 13 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think last year I was at $3.5 million in sales. This year I will be probably at eight and a half.
That's a big jump for someone 2.5 years in business.
And you just told me your goal for next year is to double that.
Yes. So yeah, so next year I already started working my business plan for next year. Okay. And the goal for next year is $18 million in sales.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
it is. That really is exciting. I can't wait to follow that.
Yes.
And especially with, you know, we do know that real estate cycles, and there's trending right now of where we are. Are we at the peak of the market? Are we, going into a shift in terms of maybe more of a buyer's market? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting and curious on how your business grows with that. And that's actually going to lead me into asking both of you the progress that you've had. And Jason, why don't we actually talk about the progress of your business, and really then moving forward into what and how this progress continues to happen for both of you. So you started in 2007. Lean years. Tell us a little bit about your success this year.
Yeah, I mean we had some years market driven where the production came up, and then we had some years where there just wasn't a whole lot. And over the last, I'd say 4 years, it's been a steady increase. And I think tracking numbers, setting good goals. I've been really hyper focused on the numbers, focused on the goals, just like a productive agent should be doing, and that has really helped. I track everything, and we've gone to a position where I don't want to say we doubled over the last year, but we've gotten close to probably doubling I call them the tribe. The tribe has almost doubled their production over the last year.
You call your team the tribe?
I call them the tribe. If you ever read the book, The Tribe, I think Seth Godin was a Seth Godin.
It's a great
tribe.
Book.
It's an awesome book. It talks about lateral leadership rather than horizontal. I'm sorry, horizontal rather than lateral leadership. And I think everybody within the reason I say that is because I think everybody has their own strengths, and they all kind of get together and click together and help each other out with whatever their strengths are and whatever their weaknesses are. So they're all working together as a cohesive group, and that's why I call them the tribe. But they have done a lot. You know, we've gone from, I think, 25 million in production maybe last year to we're going to be well over, I think we're sitting at 40 right now at this point in the year. So yeah. well over that. We might double it. My ultimate goal is to have I want to say the tribe in the office. I want to have them being contributing half of the production of the office, 50% of the production in the office.
And how large is the office?
About 135, 145 agents, and I float between 40 and 50 agents usually. My goal would be to get that to somewhere around 70 agents on a regular basis.
Do you have any support? I mean, you've got a lot of people that are you're coaching.
I mean, that's one of the things, and actually you have more support than most people do because, you know, Keller Williams has their system set up. We have your team leader and your market center administrator and your broker and your director of first impressions, and these are all people who fit together in the puzzle and have their strengths in working with everybody in the office. And you know, if I'm not around or if I'm on vacation or anything's going on, I know that there are people there in the office that are just going to pick up the slack. And even people like Bill and people who have been through the program, productive agents, again, going back to the profit sharing, we're a profit sharing office, so why wouldn't we want to see everybody in the office be productive? It's just going to be for the better of all. So.
Yeah.
And then we have the extra added layer of Keystone Partners Group on top of that, and that's where we have you coming in as somebody that I can go to, and we have a director for the team leaders, and so there's just that second degree of leadership that's there to support us and offer us new growth opportunities, and that's why it's awesome.
You sound really excited about where you're working.
I am.
That always brings.
I'm a very growth-oriented person, and that's why I'm here, because I know KPG is always looking for new growth opportunities for the people. They're always looking for new leadership opportunities, and I know that there's always a path that I can go. I'm not going to be staying in the same stagnant position. There's always going to be something better to do.
So, what do you do for professional growth?
I read constantly. I listen constantly. So you got to drive your car. You can either listen to the radio or you can listen to something that's good. Every day, if I'm listening to something, I'm going to, between my house and my office, there's going to be some little soundbite in there that I'm going to grab and be able to use, repeat to somebody. And it's funny because most of the time it'll come up in one of my coaching conversations that day where, you know what, I heard this morning. It's perfect. So listening to things, reading things like Success Magazine, reading books like John Maxwell and his, you know, he's an awesome leadership author. And going to, again, Keller Williams, Keystone Partners Group, the Keller Williams region, offering to bring people in, going to events, training events that they have, and there's just, again, opportunity for growth in not just coaching real estate agents, but as you know, we have the opportunity to coach adolescents and millennials and people who right now might need a little bit of guidance in where they're going to be taking their life, and Keller Williams has helped us to help them.
Yeah. So for our viewers, I absolutely just wanted to introduce some of the things that Jason and I are involved in is the coaching of young adults between 18 and 24. And it's a program called QL. And Gary Keller had written a program called Quantum Leap, and it really is about life. So we really do look at real estate as a whole, but as coaches, we are also very involved in the community, wanting to make sure that we are able to contribute to the youth and our youth leaders. So Jason and I are both qualified instructors to be able to share this knowledge. So absolutely, personal growth and professional growth, just in line with what our path is. So Bill, you know, we've all learned that if we're not growing, we're dying, right? Mm-hmm. So personal and professional growth, you've had some huge success with your business, and obviously it is because you're engaged in some of the learning. What are the things that you're learning lately that is causing such success?
That's a good question.
Is it programs like Bold?
Well, I mean, yeah, I've gone through Bold 3 times.
Mm-hmm. 3 times.
3 times.
Did you not get it the first time?
Well, no, you know, they go
only three.
Yeah, 3 times so far. You know, let's say that you have to, it takes 10 times, because each time you learn 10%, and by 10 times you have 100%, hopefully.
Absolutely. If you want to master something, you need to do it over and over again, right?
10,000 hours, right?
That's right.
Yep.
10,000 hours of Bold.
Yeah.
Yep, 10,000 hours.
I think Diana Kokoska will be very happy to hear you're going to take it 10,000 times.
I'm sure she would. I guess the big thing for me is just reading. Just books and stuff like that, working through some certifications and some just different classes related to real estate and whatnot. Just recently did a military relocation professional certification.
Is that so that you'd be able to serve the veterans?
Serve veterans and stuff like that, yes.
Wonderful.
So so that's how, I mean, and just reading, and then also just interacting with other agents in the office and learning their stories.
Are you involved in a mastermind group?
I'm not.
Might want to consider that.
I mean, I do every once in a while pop in. I'll go to Jason's masterminds. Mm-hmm. But no, I've been actually been so busy. I haven't focused as much on it. So, but I think while I may be focusing more on that, the business is so new for me. Mm-hmm. That I'm learning something new every day.
You have had good success in 2.5 years. However, you did go to Mega Camp recently, right?
Mega Camp,
yeah,
yes.
And that was obviously a really great environment to learn in.
It was great just talking to some of the. Even just if you would walk, you would bump into, because there are so many mega agents there. And many of them were willing to share their story. And sometimes we would bump into people and they would, and honestly, the tidbits you would get from them were priceless.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring back some action items that you are going to implement so that you can reach the goals that you've set for yourself?
So yeah, so one of them I thought was neat with regards to growing a profit share, was just posting something on Craigslist saying, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, if you're interested in starting a real estate career, mm-hmm. you know, call me. Mm-hmm. I never would have thought of that, mm-hmm. and that's how, you know, one way that agent in particular grew her profit share to almost. She said that she grew to almost 100 agents.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting, but just learning from others and collaborating and talking to each other.
You do, collaboration. You do pick up some really, really good nuggets from events. So what about leadership? Let's talk a little bit about leadership. I know you mentioned it earlier. Leadership is important. Both of you did. Mm-hmm. So what is your focus on leadership? Leading your team, real estate team, building your real estate team? It sounds like you got a really good foundation by having a coach help you stay focused on what's most important. So you've got the most important foundation, and now you really are on a path of building your business into momentum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've got, do you have leverage for your business right now?
Mm-hmm. I have an admin that works for me now.
Full time?
full-time.
Okay. So following the models that we have through the Millionaire Real Estate Agent, again, going back to leadership, what are the things that you have focused on to be able to make sure you can build your business?
Systems. Building systems so that when somebody, so that somebody can basically, I can hand them a system, and they pick it up and they run with it. It requires minimal amount of time to be able to focus, and I mean, you have to do the mentoring and the coaching to get them there. Mm-hmm. However, if the system's in place, you know, it maximizes your time with them and allows the, you know, your time that you have to spend mentoring a little bit less.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in other sectors as well, from procedures and processes.
Yeah. Finding the right people and then the systems and the tools.
Mm-hmm.
It's people, systems, tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I worked at a previous real estate company, and prior to joining Keller Williams, I don't think I ever had anybody really ever mention leadership mm-hmm. as being important. Actually, quite a lot of things, lead generation, leadership, none of those were ever mentioned in discussions at all. And what excites me about our growth with Keystone Partners Group is leadership, because Keystone Partners Group's focus is to be able to attract more leaders and build our agents into higher levels of leadership so that there would be opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any aspirations on that end, or is it building your business?
Primary focus now is to build the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because in such the early phases of my business, I want to enjoy it for a little while.
Yeah.
And then if there's a point where I get to break and say, okay, maybe I need to try something a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
Then I'll make that decision.
Fantastic. So a lot of choices.
Yeah, choices
are great.
Yes.
Yeah. And so for leadership on your end, Jason, you're an amazing leader in your office. For the listeners today, how have you grown your leadership skills, and what are some of the things that, how you show up for the folks in your office?
You know, I think leadership can be a very scary thing, actually, because if you're an effective leader, people are going to follow you. So there's a big responsibility in being a leader. So I feel a big responsibility to make sure, you know, they're going to follow you whether you're going down the good path, the bad path, the right path, the wrong path. So I always want to make sure that I'm on the right path, growth path. If I'm growing, they're going to be growing. So I think I'm a big believer in walk the walk. So if I'm going to tell people they should be coaching with me or somebody else, then I should be coaching with somebody else also, right? So I have my own coach.
So you have a coach.
That keeps me going in the right direction. And she's awesome, because I can, you know, whatever I feel like I need to be growing, that's where we're going to take the conversation. And it doesn't have to be always the same. You know, if I feel that this is important to work on, we'll work on this for a while. And then mm-hmm. if I feel something else is to. So that really helps me to improve. And again, going to any learning experience that I can go to, follow what people are doing well. So follow the people that are leading very well, see what they're doing, and do the same thing. Hang out with people that are doing what you want to do. So find the leaders that are doing the right thing and go hang out with them. Find out what they're doing. Ask them what they're doing. We have, you know, other people just within KPG that, again, going back to what do you do to improve your skills, well, we've got all of these offices that are part of our group. Everybody has their strengths and their weaknesses, yeah. and they have their good ideas and their bad ideas. So we get together once a month and really as coaches once a week, and we share those ideas. So I can't tell you how many great ideas I've picked up just from learning and listening to other people.
So it sounds like there's a very good collaborative group that you have support with.
Yeah.
So why Keystone Partners Group? Why KPG? You know, you guys are both very, very successful. You could choose, there's a lot of other companies out there. Is there a reason why you guys stick around?
For me, it's kind of like, you know, Bill just got done talking about leverage mm-hmm. In his business, and I think there's a degree of leverage with KPG because I want to do what I feel I'm focusing on and trying to do my best at right now, which is coaching other people and getting better in my coaching skills and being able to help more people. And that being said, I also want to know that there's going to be room for me to move to a next level and have something more to do and add to what I'm doing right now. And KPG is leveraged to me because I know that KPG as a team, their main focus is out there finding what can we do to provide more growth opportunity for the people within our group. So I know that as I'm doing what I'm doing what they're doing to find more growth opportunities. And at some point in time, I know that somebody's going to have developed something or found something, and I'm going to be able to move on to another, to grow into another position.
Awesome. How about you, Bill? You've got a lot of choices as well. Is the environment where you're working all working out for you, supporting you, or have there been times when you've considered looking at other options as well?
No, I like where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Definitely the support is there. And like Jason mentioned, there's what's nice about KPG is that the leadership there is looking at us and saying, you know, where can we, there are other opportunities for you within the organization to pursue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's nice, I mean, having worked in a corporate environment where I know that that's not always the case. Yeah. You know, and we're in an environment where they don't really have to look for, it's because I think because of the people that are in those positions that are looking out for their agents and looking out for talent within the organization, I think is what one of the things that keeps me there.
So let's talk about the coaching, where you have a coach and you've been coached and you constantly are in a coaching relationship. You know, as someone who's had a coach for a long time, actually since I started my real estate career, accountability is something that's a big part of growth. What would you like to say to the people that are listening today about coaching and why that would be something that would be necessary for growth and success?
So I think we all, in our own way, have a tendency to maybe not perform at our fullest potential. And sometimes it takes somebody else there to kick you in the butt and say, hey, let's go. and I think that's important. I think the fact that you see agents at, you know, they're just coming into the business, and then you have agents that are at the, you know, multi-million GC, you know, gross commission income, that are still getting coached.
Absolutely.
Says, you know, that, hey, no, this is, it's important because, again, we're all human, and we need somebody there to kind of keep us in check.
So coaching works. Coaching equals success if you do all the work
that's
required.
Well, I think that's the key, is you have to do the work.
You have to be willing to do the work. Absolutely, yeah.
Because it doesn't happen on its own.
Yeah. How does your coach hold you accountable?
She gets me to figure out what it is where I want to go, what needs to be done to do that, and then just keeps coming back to it. What are we doing to get down that path? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, to answer the question that you asked Bill also, is it's a very timely question because it's great to go out and look for evidence. So why should I have a coach? What's in it for me with a coach? And right now we're looking at the world's best athletes competing right now with the Olympics. And you look at, they did not get there on their own. They had multiple coaches. Mm-hmm. Look at the professional athletes that are out there. They have multiple coaches. There are people who have 5, 6, 7 coaches for each aspect of whatever it is they're doing. And we see that it got them to where they are. So to me, it's like there's evidence out there that says you can get to a certain level on your own. If I ask somebody, can you hold yourself accountable? Yeah, I can hold myself accountable. Maybe you can, but only to a certain level. And then there has to be somebody that's going to help you raise, get through that roof and get to the next level. And coaches are the ones who do that. So there's evidence that shows that.
Sounds like you love being a coach. What's been your biggest coaching challenge?
Biggest coaching challenge? It's a great question. I guess my biggest challenge would be to help in helping people to get out of their own way and to just get out there and I think it was Richard Branson that said, when an opportunity presents itself, just do it. You'll figure out a way to do it. And just, I guess, I know in my heart that in our office, these new agents have support. You know, through myself as their coach and the rest of the support that we have in the office, they have. And I guess helping them to understand that, because they're not that secure at this point, and they don't know that they can just go out there and just say to somebody, hey, do you want to buy or sell a house? And if that person says yes, they have everything they need to make that happen. So my biggest challenge, I guess, is me knowing that we have that for them and them understanding that.
And what's your ideal person to coach?
Bill.
You had to say that. He's sitting right next to you. Or he was your biggest challenge.
You know, the ideal person to coach is the person who has been able to find their passion or their big why. Because once you find your passion or your big why, that's your driver, that makes my job a lot easier. Because when somebody knows exactly why they're doing something and they're passionate about doing it, I can help them to develop that path. So yeah, the ideal person to coach is somebody who really knows where they're going and is going to do whatever they need to do to get there.
Yeah, says John Maxwell always says, there are two great days in our lives, the day we were born and the day we figure out why.
Yep.
And I think we do have situations where sometimes people don't actually even know why they're in real estate. You know, when in the beginning you get your license because it sounds like it would be a great, easy career. And yet, as we talked about, it's work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, right? Yeah. And yet when we've got a reason, obviously, it sounds like your wife is a big advocate for you. And you know, you've got some good focus, so that's another key thing, important that you've got people surrounding you that are supporting you in your vision.
I thought the two best days in your life were the day you bought a boat and the day you sold the boat.
I think the day you sell the boat is probably not losing so much money. So did we talk about culture of your office? You know, I've always, some of the education that I've had, you know, it's really great that a company can have growth, production, and profitability, and yet when the culture is not there, a company can fail. So tell us a little bit about culture and what that means to you. In the growth of your business and how you have or not have focus in culture. I don't really know. I just think that culture is an important aspect of all business growth. What are your views on that?
I think it's Keller Williams and KPG show their true colors. When we all know business is, we're all in business to make money, and yet with these groups, they will sacrifice making money in order to keep culture within the business. So we could have somebody who is a top producing agent and is potentially going to bring a lot of money to the business. However, if they're not going to be somebody who's going to be in culture and helping other people and doing the right thing, we'd rather not have them with us than have them with us and take away from our culture. So that's what I see as far as our group is concerned, is really folk, they have their priorities in line, and it's, I'd rather have an office that has culture where everybody's being helped and everybody knows that they're not going to be stabbed in the back, rather than just having a productive office that has whoever they want in the office.
So who we are in business with matters.
Absolutely.
And I also understand, you know, with Keller Williams, our format is that we do have an agent leadership. It's like the board of directors, and Bill, you qualified already, being the top 20% of the office. And you are on the Agent Leadership Council. So what are your duties, and not even duties as much as a covenant for you as part of leadership for the office?
Well, the I think the biggest thing is setting the example with what, you know, what activities I'm taking on to grow my business, and being able to share that with other agents so that they understand, so that they can, you know, they can use that as an example to help grow theirs.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the greatest, what's fun for me is when I do have agents that come in and talk to me and ask me questions about different things, and knowing that, you know, I have enough experience, but also just life experience with different things to be able to advise them and say, hey, you know, here's something that you might want to take a look at, or take a look at from a different angle. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, one of the more, you know, one of the important things of being a part of the Agent Leadership Council.
Do you teach classes in your office?
Once a month.
Awesome. Wonderful. What's your favorite thing to teach?
So for me, I was the, or I still am, the short sale director for the office.
Okay.
So my activity, or my classes, focus primarily on short sales, and I've done stuff on sure. I think my sheriff sale class is probably my favorite class. It's because it's just, so for me, coming from a learning environment and being a trainer, I like to be more interactive and get them to do stuff. And with that class, I can I can get them to actually do stuff and do calculations and do different things to help figure out what it is that they want to do.
I was going to ask you to give us an example of the calculations, definitely.
So yeah, so I mean, with sheriff sales, they need to go into it understanding, you know, that I think one of the things I've heard with sheriff sales is that you get into that whole gambling aspect where you don't know when to stop once you get into it.
So if you're going to get a good deal or not, right? Yeah. So it is a risk. Yeah.
So
how's the culture of your team, your tribe?
That's why I call them the tribe. They're all, you know, it's great. You walk through the office, you see them, they're all congregated in one area, and hey, can I help you with this? Or I heard you on the phone, you were doing this, and this is what happened when I was in that situation, and this is kind of how I got out of it. And and if there's ever somebody who I think is not taking us that way, and maybe kind of trying to take something in a different direction, we can usually kind of get their mindset turned around and get them back in there with us. And if they don't want to do that, I really don't want them to be part of the tribe.
Do you boot them out?
I would say there is such a thing as coaching people out of the business, and for different reasons.
Okay.
Maybe sometimes it's not the best thing for them. Maybe they're not the right person for the office or for the tribe. But yeah, there's definitely conversations that have been had with certain people.
Hmm. So as a coach, it's really important to have the real conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One conversation can change somebody's life.
Absolutely. Susan Scott, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we learned that at Coaching Skills Camp. Yep. So what mix of agents do you have? Obviously, real estate agents, we have a whole mix.
We have everybody from the Bills and some other examples that I give you that come in, and they're on it. They found their big why. They know what their passion is. They know other people have done it, and it's worked, so I'm just going to do the same thing. To a group in the middle, where kind of are half in, half out. If life's treating me well, I'll perform well. If life's not treating me well, maybe I'm just going to take a break for a while. To some who are just, maybe they don't need to have the money, or they haven't found their big why, and they're just kind of out there floating around. And me personally, I'm going to put a majority of my efforts to the people who are really going at it, and the people that are kind of out there and maybe not as engaged are going to take second seat to the people that are really going after it.
Yeah. So what are you most proud of, both of you? I'd like to be able to hear with your business, with your family. Doesn't really matter. I'm sure the viewers would like to know. Bill's very eager.
Well, I mean, it just to the point where I'm able to grow, I mean, 40 houses in a year for me is a lot.
2.5 years, yeah.
It's a lot. And it's just, you know, the fact that I'm able to do that and show my family that I can do it. Because they look at, I remember my kids were always giving me a hard time. Like, Dad, you're not making any money doing this. And then I started bringing home checks. And they're like, well, how much is that one? I say, well, that's this. And I say, well, how much is that one? That's this. And then they say, well, why is it blah, blah, blah? And I say, well, you want to go do all the nice, fun things, then this is what I got to do.
So what kind of fun things have you been able to do with your family?
So we have a Disney trip coming up. That's going to be this fall. Monday, we actually went out to Hershey Park and had a good day out there. So there'll be things like that, and then do more vacations next year. So next year, I've already got pretty much the weeks that I want to put in my schedule for vacations and where we're going to go. The big one is they want to go, my daughter wants to go to the Bahamas. I said, okay. And we'll have to work towards that.
So that's going on your goal sheet for next year, and it's all going to get time blocked. And
yes, absolutely.
You've told all the viewers about it, so now there's
accountability. So now I'm accountable for it. Yep,
absolutely. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Yeah.
That's accountability right there.
That's accountability.
That's
yeah.
When somebody comes to me and they want true accountability. There's no real true accountability to me. I'm somebody they just met within the last several months. And
sometimes I felt like it, but yeah.
But if somebody really wants true accountability, who are you most accountable to? You're most accountable to your family in most
That's
cases, right?
Yeah.
Or to your kids or to your
That's
spouse
right.
or whatever it is. And so find out what it is that they want from you and then commit to doing that. And
right.
I think the ultimate form of accountability is if you go home and you're one of your kids says they want to go to Disney or whatever it is, rather than say, well, let's see how my business goes this year, and
right.
if everything goes well and I do what I said I was going to do, we'll go to Disney. Okay, you want to go to Disney? I'm going to call and book the trip right now. Get your bags out, start doing some research. We're going to Disney next May. Are you going to get back to them in April and say, you know what, I really didn't feel like doing all the work I needed to do. So
right.
you got to find the right person to know you're accountable to, and then so that's perfect that he's doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So what are you most proud of? I thought you weren't going to share with us.
What am I most proud of? I don't know. My family. My son just started middle school today, and I guess looking back and looking at if you want to talk about financial situation, to where the lean years were, and anytime there was an opportunity to take a vacation or do something extra or even go out to dinner, whatever it is, you know, maybe having to second guess, well, is this really something I need to be spending my money on right now? To being in a position where you can say, oh, you know what, yeah, let's do that. And you talked about creating time for yourself and creating time for your agents. I was fortunate enough this month to have quite a few vacations. I just got back from a week camping in Maine with the family and hiking and biking. And that's, you know, a family that plays together, a family that stays together. So
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the most important things is to be able to do that, be in a position where you can do that on a regular basis. Looking at the numbers is great. I get psyched by looking at numbers and
mm-hmm.
seeing the growth in the numbers, but really you have to take a step beyond that and say, okay, what do these numbers mean? That's
right.
what I do when I coach. I don't really want to talk about what somebody wants to make each year until I know why they want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing. Like, it's nice to look at the numbers. It's nice to see the production increase, but really the ultimate goal is what is that going to do for you in your life? And those are the things that are important.
Yeah. Both of you just shared some really wonderful things. And I think for our viewers, it's really important to know, why we do what we do. So for someone considering a career in real estate or is in real estate currently, what words of wisdom would you have for them, Bill?
They're considering an opportunity in real estate. I guess words of wisdom would be, Go for it.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Go for it and work hard.
Work hard. I mean, it's not a career that you can sit back and just kind of rest on and stuff just comes in. No, you have to work hard for it. I work my butt off to get to where I am now, and because I work my butt off, I can do a couple extra things.
Fantastic.
So, yeah,
definitely on your path of the life worth living, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Career worth having, businesses worth owning, which are profitable businesses, mm-hmm. and a life worth living. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Last words of wisdom for our viewers today?
Yeah, I'd say find your passion.
Find your passion.
Find your passion, what drives you, your big why, and then find the right people to help you get there.
And for anyone considering a career that's on a leadership path?
KPG, Keller Williams, has excellent opportunities. We're always, there's new offices, there's offices that are, you know, going through changes, and there's always opportunities to, as we've been talking about this whole, through this whole interview, there's always opportunities for growth and different positions. And so find out what's available. Talk to somebody at a Keller Williams office within Keystone Partners Group and find out what positions are available. And if that specific position might not be available, there's something available that might help you move into that position. But there's always something that you can do to be furthering yourself toward that ultimate goal, whether it's becoming a productivity coach or even a MAPS coach or coaching beyond that.
Lots of opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lots of growth. Lots of success. And I so enjoyed our conversation today. And I want to thank both of you for being here. And
thank you very much.
I am going to really watch how your success comes about for next year. And for our viewers today, I hope you really enjoyed the conversation. And I want to thank you all for the time. And I hope you'll tune in for Keystone Partners Group, the coaching series, and The Path for the next episode.